Just greet somebody next to you and tell them you're looking good this morning. Tell them I like that smile on your face. Hopefully there is a smile on the face. Amen. In case you didn't know, I am still the pastor of this church. I haven't left. I haven't been here for 2 weeks, but it's so wonderful to be back with you. Yeah. It's actually their fault that I wasn't here last weekend because they got married and now they're back from honeymoon. Mr. and Mrs. Olafir, I think we can give them a hand. Shanta Olafir, please note, not Shanta Rousseau anymore. Okay. It's wonderful to have you guys back as well. And we had a wonderful time last weekend in Potch and in Bultfontein. I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning. But God is so good. Amen. God is moving. God is in control. Okay, there is a special prayer time. I think it's going to be in that corner for any rugby supporters. Yeah, there'll be like a special. There's like, we should have actually put up a box, like, you know, for special ministry, like really one-on-one. Where deep hurts have been caused by a team in green and gold. But praise Jesus, He's in control of this nation. He's shaking this nation in all sorts of ways. Anyone was at the Angus thing last yesterday or heard about it or followed it? I don't know if you guys knew, almost 100,000 people got together at the FNB Stadium in Soweto for a sacred assembly where people just prayed for the nation and Wim Angus led it, so I'm sure people got saved again. But this morning I'm going to talk about simple church. Amen. I'm going to talk about church this morning. The church that Jesus died for, the church that Jesus prayed for, the church that Jesus loves with all of His heart and all of His soul and mind and strength. Everything that Jesus lived for was His church, and we are part of that this morning. So I want you to turn to someone next to you, and the question is, what are the minimum, what would you say Jesus wants the minimum stuff to happen in a church? What are the basics that must happen, the minimum stuff at least that must happen in a church? Okay, because church is a very funny concept these days. So just discuss with someone, what do you feel church should be? Basic, raw, simple church. You guys are very quiet. I thought there's discussions going on. Is there like one answer? Everyone's like looking at me. We don't know. Tell us. Is that then why I must go on now? Or have you guys just got nothing to say this morning? Is everyone shocked? Does no one need more time? That was a quick discussion. But I just want to get you thinking this morning. I want you to think, because, you know, we can say church must have a smoke machine and church must have a band and church must have loud music and church must be in rows or, you know, in a circle or there must be coffee. I don't know what you guys discussed. And maybe some people said there must be coffee and then it's fine. Then everything else will happen, you know, like. But last Saturday afternoon, we broke all the rules of church when we went to Bultfontein, okay? I want to encourage you guys, if you want to, the 11th of December, the last Sunday morning, yeah? Okay, maybe we must all go there then. But if you really want to go, Marius and Gerard are taking the bus through to Bultfontein and to minister to the people there again. But it's just amazing what God is doing. And so we did an outreach to Bultfontein on Saturday, and then I preached in Potch in the morning and the evening. So we asked the Bultfontein people, can we, you know, have the little fellowship group on the Saturday, because then we can go through and from there go to Potch. And so we had a wonderful weekend of ministry, and God really moved powerfully. But what is so amazing for me on this little group, yeah, we arrive on this farm, kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's out in the open. There's chairs in a circle. On the grass, there's no electricity, so the Lord set it up beautifully. So like we're going there and I'm like preparing all the, you know, I'm on the computer in the bus and preparing the, and I wasn't driving, someone else was driving, but I'm like preparing all the songs on the easy worship schedule and are we going to sing these few songs? And we get there and there's no electricity. So I spent like half an hour typing in all the songs that we needed to sing and then we don't even use it, you know, and it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, I'll submit, you know, you don't want to do something else now. But it seems like we broke all the rules of church. We there wasn't a building. We weren't sitting in the building. We're sitting out in the open. There was no sound or media equipment because there was no electricity. We didn't even sit in rows. We sat in a circle. In fact, one rule was seriously broken. We didn't have church on a Sunday. It was a Saturday. And you know when it was? From 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, like in rugby time. I mean, but praise the Lord, it was in that time. Okay. So glad I missed that game. So all the rules of it wasn't on a Sunday. It was out in the open. It was like in a circle. There was no music. Obviously, Eduard had his guitar, and we still worshiped the Lord. But what was so amazing for me was that the rules of church seemed to have been broken. But yet we saw God move. People were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was such a hunger for God. There was just such an excitement and a joy. And we had a meal afterwards, and we were blessed with so much meat. You know, when you eat in the platteland, it's like you leave there quite full, okay? Full of the Spirit, but also full of meat as well. It was like food for Africa. But it was such a blessing, the fellowship, and the people didn't want to leave. People were just sitting around afterwards, and then we had a meal, and we were just fellowshipping until late at night. It was just so amazing. So the question I want to ask us this morning is, what must church look like in the day and the age that we live in? How must church happen? What I'm sure there's a lot of questions going around. I don't know if you guys are asking these questions. What must church really look like? Because we can argue for the building. We can say we must have a building. We must have our own building. We must have a permanent building. We must have all sorts of music. There must be a preacher. We must have it on this day of the week. You know, some people these days say Friday. Others say Saturday. Others say Sunday. Others say, you know, just random. I don't know. But what is the church that Jesus wants? What is the church in our day and age that Jesus died for? What must it look like? And so I want to look at the book of Acts this morning. I'm just going to go through a few pieces of, or just one section of scripture in Acts, just to look at what, how did the church start? First of all, do you know, what would you say the book of Acts is about? Who is it the Acts of? Anyone know? Some people say it's the Acts of the Apostles. But you know that the Apostles are hardly mentioned in the book of Acts. Peter was mentioned and John was with him and James got killed quite soon after the church started and Paul was mentioned. But the Apostles weren't really mentioned that much if you think about it. Some people say it's the Acts of Jesus, as Jesus was mentioned 40 times. Some people say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned 70 times in total in the book. And others say, but then isn't it the Acts of God, because the name of God is mentioned 100 times. But I'll leave that with you. You can decide. I'll give you the answer at the end. Let's read in Acts chapter 2. From verse 42 to 47. If you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to open them there. Reading from the New King James Version. Acts chapter 2. Just before I read this, I just want to give you some background. The Holy Spirit comes upon 120 people who have been waiting in the upper room. Jesus told them to wait. The Holy Spirit comes in power. Massive stuff happens. People think they are drunk. But it's early in the morning, so I guess they can't really be. Peter preaches this incredible gospel and many convert to Christianity. 3,000 people get saved. It was a massive move of God. People got saved through the following. They repented. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in water. There was a process of conversion that happened in the early church. I want to say that again. People got converted through the following process. They repented of their sin, put their faith in Jesus, baptized in water, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Quite a serious process that happens in the conversion. I don't see people just making a commitment on a card, saying, yes, thank you, Jesus, I love you, here's my life. Maybe they did that, I don't know, but it says they repented. put their faith, baptized. It was serious stuff happening. And in a moment, a church is born. Think about that. In a moment, a massive church is born. Not only a church for that time, but the church for the ages to come. Would you agree with that? And the rest is history. We are sitting here today because of this birth. And in verse 42, after this massive thing has happened, 3,000 people are getting saved. Suddenly, they've got to organize these people into a community. Somehow they did it. Doesn't say exactly how, but it says the following. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So I just want to go through this passage this morning, and I want to say to us this morning, I'm sharing a little bit of vision for us for next year, because I really believe the Lord took me to this a while ago, and I've been working through it and been meditating on, Lord, how do you want us to do church? How do you want us to be church? So I just want to share this with you, and I want you to think about it, because it's not like at the end of today we're going to have all the answers. I want us to wrestle with the scriptures together, but I want to say this morning, is there's by no means that God say, I believe that we have to be exactly the same as this church. I don't believe church is specific for a specific time. So I think this church was very specific for the start, and obviously it was the start, it was the birth of something great. And yeah, we are 2,000 years later, and life looks different. Situations look different. The lifestyle that we live is totally different. So I'm not saying by any means that we have to do it exactly like this, but I believe this was put in the book of Acts for a reason, is that God wanted to show us how this church started and how they did church. And I believe we can, to a degree, cut away all the stuff that is not necessary in church today. Wouldn't you agree? So I want to do that this morning. I want to start go on a journey with this, and make you think about this, and make you check your own heart as to how do you experience church? What do you believe God wants from you in terms of church? And why are you here this morning? Why are you in Shofar? Why are you a believer this morning? What does God have for you, and how can we do this thing together? So that's all I'm leaving with you to start off with. Think about it in this way. So the first question I ask you is, what did they do? Well, it says that they continued steadfastly. So let's just stop there. Continuing steadfastly, the definition or the explanation of that word is to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously all the exercises, to adhere closely to. That's a mouthful. The explanation of continuing steadfastly is the following. It's to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously all the exercises, and to adhere closely to. Do we really understand what continuing steadfastly means? I want to ask you, in your own life, have you continued steadfastly in something? If you look back on your own life, can you really say there's something that you've been continuing steadfastly in all your life? Because then maybe you'll be able to explain what this means. Where is it true in your life? I don't know. I honestly, I was an athlete at a stage. I still am a runner, but at one stage I was really committed to running. I was training twice a day. I think I continued steadfastly for a while, but after a while, you know, you can't live up to that pace. You have to like stop. Like years and years of training, doing like 100. The one year I did 5,200 kilometers in a year. That's 100 kilometers averaging a week, average. And my dad said, you need an oil change. I said, yes, I need a lot. But you know, I was continuing steadfastly for a while in that, but to keep that up, it's like impossible. I mean, because you just give your life away, you know. Life is all about running. So I can't say I continued steadfastly in it, maybe for a year or two or three. But I mean, that's something I persevered in, something I pushed through, in something I can sort of relate to this, but I would almost say I didn't continue steadfastly in it. Because it wasn't sustainable. So I don't know in your life if you can seriously say you have been earnest towards, you've persevered, you've been diligent, you've attended all the exercises, you've adhered to closely in your life. Maybe your relationship with Jesus is like that. If it is, then fantastic. I think that's what the Lord wants. But they continued steadfastly in specific things. First of all, it says they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. In other words, the teaching of the apostles. You know what the apostles' teaching was? Simply Jesus' teaching, wouldn't you say? They didn't have books. They had the Old Testament, obviously. But obviously, the apostles started to write this doctrine and started to write the books of the New Testament. And they continued steadfastly in that. They listened to the teaching of the apostles. Why? Because they were with Jesus. And so they probably taught exactly what Jesus had taught them. I believe they continued in the gospel. The teaching of Jesus was simply the gospel of the kingdom of God. If you look at all the sermons and all the teachings in Acts, it was focused on the gospel. Isn't that so? And then they continued in something else. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. The definition of fellowship is koinonia. It's community. It's having things in common. I really don't believe it's just drinking coffee together and having a nice life together. Fellowship is something we don't understand, and I want you to think about what does it mean to have fellowship. Fellowship, I believe, has a common vision and a focus. It's a group of people coming together for a vision and a focus, a common focus that they had. And then it says they also continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread, which means, I believe, it's the common meal they eat. They ate together and they had the Lord's Supper together. I think they had the Lord's Supper whenever they ate. And it was so wonderful to be with Gerard and Shanta at their wedding, where before we had the big meal, that they had communion with everyone. We all had communion at the tables we were sitting at. It was so wonderful, a wonderful symbol of this is the life sort of that these apostles or these first disciples lived. They ate together, but they also had the Lord's Supper together. I think it's saying something about doing life together. Amen. They did life together. I wouldn't say they lived in this massive community house. I think that's too idealistic if you think of it. They obviously lived in their own houses, but they did life together. They seemed to do life together. And they continued steadfastly in that. And lastly, they continued steadfastly in prayers. Note the plural. Not prayer, but prayers. They had different types of prayer. And I believe they prayed in different ways. They prayed in smaller groups, prayed in bigger groups, prayed for thanksgiving, prayed for requests, supplications. They did all kinds of prayers. That's why it's not very clear here, but I think it's a general thing. They prayed. Families prayed together. Small groups prayed together. Large groups prayed together. So that's what they did. And I'm just sketching a picture of what they did. Okay, forget about us now. Just think about what they did. And then what happened? You know, when you do something, something happens. Isn't that so in life? It's the law of cause and effect, you know. If you do something, something happens. Isn't that so? Huh? Life is like that. You make a decision and there's an effect of that decision. You do something in life and there's a consequence. Either good or bad, it doesn't matter, but that's just the law of life. There's no such thing as nothing. Because if you do nothing, then guess what the consequence is? Nothing happens. But something happens. Something is just nothing. But in this church, there was a result. Something happened because they were faithful. It says they were faithful in these things. And this resulted in the following. Number one, and I like when the Bible says then. When the Bible says then, it's like you must like wait in anticipation. Something is going to happen. Isn't that so? Then the following happened. The fear of God came upon every soul. Say, every soul. Say it again, every soul. Every soul was subject to the fear of God. And I believe it wasn't only the people in the church, it was the whole community. And it came upon them when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It came upon them when signs and wonders happened. The whole of Jerusalem was shaken. Because suddenly God visited his people. Believers and unbelievers together. He just used the believers to tell the unbelievers that he was here, and this was him. But the fear of God came upon every soul. I believe the Holy Spirit was so welcome in that atmosphere. It wasn't necessary, the Holy Spirit wasn't necessarily welcome in every heart, but I believe he was welcome in that community. And he wanted to be there with the people. I love what the one commentator, Albert Barnes, says. He says, the effect of a great work of God's grace is commonly to produce an unusual seriousness and solemnity in a community, even amongst those who are not converted. It restrains, subdues, and silences opposition. Isn't that wonderful? When the fear of God comes, it silences all opposition. It restrains, subdues, and silences any form of the evil one. And I believe it brings a serious repentance. It brings a true godly repentance in our lives and in every life. A great work of God happened right at the beginning. The Holy Spirit was poured out. The fear of God came. And then it says, many wonders and signs, many wonders and signs. Not just a few here and there, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And I don't know about you, but I desire this to happen with us. And we're seeing it. We're seeing little bits of it happening. Can really just testify about last weekend. Last weekend was amazing. God really moved. First of all, the son of the couple that is starting this fellowship in Bultfontein is in hospital, and he's been sick for a while now. He's struggling with so many things. And so a couple of us went to visit him in the hospital there, and we prayed, and it was just so amazing. You know, now that he's got, I think he had German measles, is that right? Or something, Marius, you'll know. And then, so we go into the hospital, and like, you got to put these masks on and this apron, and like they say, look, at least a meter apart from him. So I'm thinking, yeah, I guess Jesus would have just come and laid his hands on him. But I was like, okay, I'll obey the laws that says that we must be a meter away. And I just said to him, Stian, let's just worship the Lord now. Let's just praise the Lord. And we just praised the Lord. And he had a sore throat, a very, very sore throat. And at the end of about 2 or 3 minutes of just praying, and he was praying, he was just lying there. And he just said, no, it's amazing. My throat's better. I could just see the smile on his face. He says, no, my throat is 100% fine. God just came to touch his throat right there. And obviously he had a few other things. And we prayed and rebuked the diseases in his body, and didn't happen immediately, but it was amazing. I could just see the smile on his face. He's like, his throat is better. He was literally feeling pain, but at the end of those few minutes, pain is gone. Jesus healed him. And so that was the start. Then we go to Bultfontein, and we're ministering there, and we're praying for a guy who's got a sore leg over here, and we just lay hands on his leg, and then he's like, his leg is healed. And then we pray for his back, and like, he can't stand for long, and so his back is like, all sore, and he has to sit for a while. I just said, well, let's just pray. And he says, and then we're talking afterwards, and he says, you know what? But he's so scared. He's like worried this pain's going to come back. So he's like almost wanting to sit again, but he's like puzzled because this pain's just not coming back. It's like his back's healed. Amazingly. And so then, and then the Lord did amazing stuff. Then we go to Poch, and we minister there, and there's like guys responding for healing, and there's a shoulder guy, like his shoulder's sore and stuff. And so we pray for his shoulder, and like, then he says, no, it's still a little bit, so we pray again, and he's like, I can move my shoulder, completely heal. And then there's this woman who's been in a serious accident, and her back is like very, very out of like really bad stuff, and so we pray for her back, and like she's like jumping for joy, her back's healed, completely healed, from incredible pain to completely healed. God is doing amazing things even today, but I just say we're still seeing just a little bit. We're still seeing like a trickle. But God says in his word that many signs and wonders were done at the beginning. Many. And so I don't know about you, but I'm trusting for that. I'm trusting for God to restore and it's not about running after the supernatural. But I believe that if we operate in the power of the Spirit, then signs and wonders will follow us. And obviously the greatest miracle is when someone comes to salvation. That's the best. Amen. Because the healings and all the stuff are cool, but you know, our bodies are anyway going to go to some other place. We're going to get new bodies. So it's not about having a perfect body, but it's about someone's life who's stirred that God is good and God loves them and God wants to change their lives. And the greatest miracle is when someone comes to Jesus. But I don't know, it just says that many wonders and signs were done. And then it says that there was unity. It says all who believed were together and had things in common. I believe they were together in vision. There was a one heart and one mind. It says it a couple of times in the book of Acts. There was unity. They were together. It doesn't mean they were all in one place, because I definitely don't believe they were in one place all the time. They didn't like walk around as this church that's like on a mission the whole time. They were just together in the Spirit. They had one heart and one mind. And then they had community. And I believe this was even a greater level of fellowship. It seemed like this fellowship just increased because suddenly now it says they had all things in common and they shared and they cared. There was not one poor person among them. Amen. I'm going to say that again. There was not one person poor among them, because it says, does anyone had need? You know, every one of us have needs. Amen. And as the person had need, they met that need. Because suddenly there wasn't rich or poor, or they just had all things in common. Quite a level of community. And this happened because of their faithfulness to the doctrine, the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers. They were faithful to certain things and God started to do stuff among them. And I want to say this morning that God did this. Amen. The fear of God is nothing that we can manufacture. The wonders and signs is nothing that we can do. You can just lay hands on someone. It's God that does the healing. And I tell you, it's so amazing experiencing when you just lay hands on someone and you know, okay, I cannot in all my strength heal this person. This is like, I didn't even touch the guy in the hospital. Just a sign of, you know, sometimes we don't even need to lay hands on people. We can just pray and God can do it. Amen. Because God is great. God is the one who heals. He's not the one who... We are not the one who heals. God heals. God does the signs and wonders. They just were done through certain people. And God does use people to do it. But it's something that God does. Unity is something that God does. Community is something that God does. And sharing and caring is something that God must do in our hearts. And God did in their hearts. Amen. Some people are going to be set free this morning. I know it. I've got an expectation. Okay? Because I'm not preaching condemnation here. I'm preaching the truth. You'll see now. So where did this happen? They gathered faithfully in two places. And it said that they continued again, the same Greek meaning as the previous one. Continued steadfastly. The same thing. They were faithful. They did this on an ongoing basis. They were faithful in meeting in places. Where did they meet? In the temple, the public place of worship. They met in from house to house. They met in their homes, they met as families, they met as smaller groups. It's difficult to interpret exactly what this means, but I believe it just means that in families they gathered, and in smaller groups, but they also gathered in big groups, in the public place of worship. And I believe all of the above happened in both these settings. Amen. I believe we can safely say that signs and wonders didn't just happen when they gathered in the big meeting. Prayer didn't just happen when they were in smaller groups. I believe all the stuff happened in both of these meetings because it says they continued faithfully in this. So I believe wherever they gathered, they had the power of God. They had the Holy Spirit. There was unity. There was community. There was incredible sense of love amongst each other. I believe it wasn't either or, but it was both. It was both in the temple and house to house. Wherever this group met, the Spirit was with them and was welcome and did incredible things. Can I have an amen? I'm just telling you about Scripture this morning. And then the last question I want to ask is, how did they live? In Acts 2:46, the second part, it says they ate their food. This was their lifestyle. It doesn't mean like they lived eating food the whole time. The rest of their lives were like separate. It was like, this is how they lived. Eating food is just a sort of a metaphor almost of, obviously they ate together, but it was just like, this is a lifestyle. Eating food happens almost three times a day. Some of you maybe eat once a day. Some of you five times a day. I don't know. But eating food is kind of a lifestyle, wouldn't you say? Something God blessed us with. It's wonderful to eat food, but it says they ate their food, meaning they lived their life. It was a culture. It was a lifestyle of, first of all, gladness. Do you know what gladness means? Gladness is jumping for joy, exceeding joy. I think it's a measure of how much the Holy Spirit is in our lives. I don't know about you, but I mean, this year for me has been a tough year, and it's like God has exposed in my own life, how much joy do you have in your life? How much gladness? How much exceeding joy do you have? Is your joy dependent upon circumstances, or is your joy dependent on my Spirit, my presence in your life? And I've been seriously challenged, because ask my wife, I've been down a lot, you know, like it's not been easy. But then I think to myself, but Lord, why must life always just be easy? Why can't we always have joy? Because the joy isn't determined by our circumstances. And I really believe when I was preparing for this, the Lord said to me, this is a measure, the gladness in your heart is a measure of how much my Spirit is welcome in your life. How much the Spirit is given freedom to rule in your life. So I just want to leave that with you because I was so challenged. I thought, how much is the Spirit really welcome and how much joy and gladness is in my life? Or do I live my life from happening to happening and then I'm very happy and very sad, very happy and very sad. Up and down the whole time. How much is the Spirit welcome in our lives? But these guys seem to live their lives with gladness. That's the first thing. So how's the gladness in your life? How's the joy in your life? Is it if fees must fall goes away, then the campus will be joyful again? Or is this an opportunity to test? Is there joy in our hearts as students? When suddenly we have to write exams online or suddenly, you know, our lives get shaken a little bit. Is there still gladness? Is our lifestyle truly gladness or is it circumstantial? And then secondly, they lived with simplicity of heart, which is translated as singleness of heart, sincere and pure hearts without deceit, without hypocrisy. I think it's just such an amazing life to live. I don't know who yet desires the simplicity of life. Who yet desires all the clutter to be out of your life? I don't know about you, but I do. Life is so cluttered. Life is so rushed. You know, we're rushing from one thing to the next and our hearts can't take it. Literally, people die of heart attacks because life is so fast. The pace is impossible to keep up with. But these guys seem to live a different life. They seem to live with simplicity of heart. They had a sincerity, a purity about them, but they were focused. They knew their focus. They weren't confused about how to live and what to live for. Simplicity of heart, without deceit, without hypocrisy. And then another thing that's challenging for me is they praised the Lord. Do we just praise God on a Sunday? Do we praise God because Benny's so cool in leading worship or, you know, the band is awesome and Lucy's in the spirit and prophesying and it's wonderful. Do we praise God on a Sunday or are we praising God as a lifestyle? And that's why next Sunday we're going to give thanks. Oh, there's going to be no sermon. We're just going to have testimonies. I want to ask you guys if you've got a testimony of what God did in your life this year, please share it. Tell us that we can at least prepare. But we're going to share testimonies next week. We're going to thank God for all the amazing leaders. We've got all the people that have served. But we want to start to say, God, we want to give you thanks, at least as an event. But Thanksgiving shouldn't be an event. Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle. And it's so amazing with our kids. We're teaching them. We're saying to them at the end of every day, you know, what are you thankful for? We're instilling that into their lives or trying to just say, give thanks for something. Give thanks for your school. Give thanks for your friends. Give thanks for your teachers. Just live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. We have so much to be thankful, but yet we're looking at the drought and we're looking at the challenges in the nation. We're looking at all sorts of things and we forget about what we can be thankful for. A roof over our heads, just food to eat, even if it's one meal a day. But we can live a life of praising God, a life of thanksgiving. And that's what these guys lived. This is how they lived. And then the last one. This is blows your mind, you know, having favor with some of the people, having favor with the believers, having favor with the leaders. It says they had favor with all the people. Jerusalem was changed. Jerusalem was not the same because suddenly they had favor. And obviously they were persecuted. Obviously they had massive challenges. But still, there was a favor that was upon their lives. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, this seems like an impossible task. It's like God, just take me to another passage of scripture that's a little bit more edifying. You know, this feels like I'm so falling short here. And Lord, I don't do any of those things. You know, the gladness is not always there. The simplicity of heart. I don't always praise you, Lord. I definitely don't have favor. Because there's so many people against me and some are for me and so I just don't know. But I'm challenged. But then there's good news this morning. All of this is an impossible task. Amen. I want to say it is an impossible task to live like this. It's an impossible task to be continually faithful, to gather faithfully in the temple and from house to house. It's an impossible task to allow the fear of God to come upon you every day, to humble you, to walk in humility all the time. It's an impossible task. Wonders and signs will not happen, definitely not in the natural. None of this stuff can happen in the natural. Amen. So the good news this morning is this is an impossible task. If we don't do it in the power of the Spirit, if we don't do it when the gospel is the center of it, if we are on the center of our lives, We are not going to get up to the standard. Definitely not. Some of you are like, oh, okay. In the last part here, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's what God did. God added to the church daily those who were being saved. He could add to his church daily, I believe, and obviously you need to read this in context. They met in the temple daily. So guess what? They probably took people with them and people got saved every time they met together. But guess what? Isn't that something that we can trust the Lord for? Every time we meet together, maybe someone could get saved, someone could get healed, someone could get touched by God. Because the Lord wants to do it. It's not like he's changed. He still wants to add to his church, whether it's weekly or monthly, but he wants to do stuff. But I believe he could do it here daily because he was in control of every believer and he was in control of every life and every church and he was in control of the whole church. So he could add to the church daily. He was doing the miracles. He was saving the people. And I want to say this is impossible if we as a church do not allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to be central. It is possible if we do allow the gospel to be central. Because it happened, all of this happened just after Peter preached this whole sermon of what is the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And so, to give you the answer of what is this book of Acts really about? David Pawson in his book, the interpretation of scripture, he gives a nice thick book, a very simple summary of all the books of the Bible. But in the end of his summary on the book of Acts, he says the best title for the book of Acts would be the following: The Acts of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. The Acts of God through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, in the apostles. And I believe that the Lord in our church wants to write a book in the Spirit about the acts of God through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, in the people of Shofar Bloemfontein. In the people of Shofar as a movement, in the people of South Africa as believers. But let's forget about that because that's not our responsibility. Amen. Isn't that awesome? We don't have a responsibility for the nation or for the nations of the world primarily now. You know, I'm talking about our sphere of influence. We don't have responsibility even for this whole city, but we just have responsibility for what God is doing here. Amen. And I'm not talking about these four walls of this church, of this hall. I'm talking about what God is doing here and here, heart-wise. Amen. That's what we have responsibility for. So let's allow God to write the story about the acts of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in Jaco Willemse, Pieter Swart, Neil Castle, Hester Kingwell, Mariette Waldeck, Gerard Olivier, Wijnand. Almost, I know so many Wijnands. Weiberg. You must do something in my life that I must get to know my members a bit better and my leaders. But God must do something in our lives through Jesus Christ by the Spirit in each one of our lives. Amen. And let's allow him to do it together. Let's have him write this book about what he can do, because I believe he can do it and I believe he wants to do it. And that's why I'm just sharing this, that you can think about this. Let's surrender our lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because all of this is impossible. We can try and create great structures. We can try and create fantastic prayer meetings. We can try and create fellowship and have coffee and make the coffee even better. And, you know, have five coffee machines and invite the whole world to come drink coffee at our church. And then that's what they're going to do, is come and drink coffee at our church. So we can do all sorts of stuff. But I'm really trusting God. And God is setting me free from so much. He's setting me free from a lot of stuff and a lot of thinking about old stuff and old way of doing things. And God says, today, I want to do a new thing. Amen. I want you to do church like I want to do church. And it doesn't mean we're going to now go and do church like out in the field every Sunday. You know, certain things make it easy for God to move and for us to get together. That's why we happen to use JF. But whether we get our own building or not, we can trust the Lord for that. For the specifics. We can as leaders dream about the specifics and get specific about the specifics. But I just want to leave a seed with you guys, is how can we allow God to do some acts through us by the Spirit and through Jesus Christ. It's when we surrender to the gospel and say, the Lord, we see this happening in the first church. Lord, we want you to do it in us. But it starts with each heart. It starts with each individual heart and say, where are you as an individual? And looking at these people and thinking, okay, God, we don't measure up and that's okay. But Lord, we see a standard. We see a certain thing that you want to do and we never measure up. On this side of eternity, we never. But Lord, start to use us. Amen. Start to use each one of us. Let the gospel become real in each one of our lives. I just want to end with this vision that the Lord showed me on the rooftop praise and worship a couple of weeks ago. We were worshiping the Lord and amazing worship. And then I was down on my knees there and the Lord just showed me this vision for, and I believe it's for Bloemfontein, but I really believe it's for us. Because he gave it to me. He probably gave it to someone else. I don't know. But he gave it to me and he said, you know what? I want you to be like Mary. Not you alone, but He wants a community because God doesn't work with individuals. He works with a group. I don't see any one man standing up here. I only see the man Jesus Christ being glorified. There's not one name mentioned here. But there were leaders. Don't make no mistake. There were leaders. But God doesn't want to use one man. God wants to use a community. And he wants to say to us, he wants us to be like Mary, giving birth to his purposes. And the angel came to visit Mary and Mary was freaked out. She was young. She wasn't right for the job. She wasn't married. So it looked all wrong. And he said, Mary, I want you to give birth to my purposes. You're going to give birth to my son. And imagine, and the questions Mary was asking, like, okay, but this isn't in place. This isn't in place. You know, Mary was one of those. But eventually, there's surrender. Probably someone like me, asking all the questions, making sure all the boxes are ticked, and then after a while you realize there's so many more boxes, I can't tick them all, so surrender. And I believe he's asking us as a church to do that, what Mary did. Yes, ask a few questions. Yes, put your fears on the table. This is going to cost me my life because, you know, I'm going to be rejected and I'm not married, and so it's going to look really weird. My poor husband, you know, how are we going to do this? And then eventually, okay, Lord, what a privilege to be used by you. What a privilege, Lord, to be called to give birth to your purposes. And I really believe God wants to do it in us, but he's wanting to make us the church like this, where they were truly united in community by the Spirit. They had the Spirit of God. They had the Holy Spirit. And they had Jesus Christ as the center. And the gospel was on their lips. And they said, Jesus, come back. Maranatha, Jesus, come, come. We want you to come back, but for now, let so many people get saved before you come back. And the gospel was central. The saving power of Jesus was central in their lives. And for us to be like Mary and to surrender like that, we're going to have to realize the power of the gospel. We're going to have to realize the fullness of the Spirit. We're going to have to know the Father's heart of God. We're going to have the full gospel. And I love what our slogan is as a church, the whole gospel to the whole world. But sometimes we don't have the whole gospel, you know. Sometimes we've got a half gospel. So all I want us to do this morning is to close our eyes and to ask the Lord to birth in us again the incredible simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That sermon that Peter prayed where, you know, it's about repentance. It's about realizing that we are all sinners. We need a Savior. So I want the band to come forward this morning and we're gonna just bring ourselves as a church before the Lord this morning. We're gonna surrender, and whatever the Lord wants to do in your life this morning, then just allow him to do it by his Spirit. But I believe we have to look at our own hearts and say, Lord, there's so much of myself in you. There's so much of me, and I'm so circumstantial. When I've got friends, then I'm happy. But when I feel I haven't, then I'm sad. When I'm exercising and I'm feeling physically good, then I'm happy. But there's no gladness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no joy always of my salvation. There's no praising God which happens. I'm praising him on a Sunday, but you know, in the week, it's life is so tough and it's, I've got to overcome the whole time and I'm hitting this wall. And then I just think, is the gospel real? And I'm talking about myself. Is it real in my life? But I know God is doing it in my life. God is setting me free, and I'm just so filled with joy. When people ask me, how are you doing? I'm like, you know what, God? He's just doing so much stuff in my life. I'm praising him at night. I'm like, in my sleep, I just feel like my spirit is like just connecting with God. I'm like, say, Lord, I'm at the end of myself, but God, just come and do what you need to do in this city. Come and do what you need to do in our family. Come and do what you need to do through us. So I want us to pray this morning. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are so good here this morning, God. Lord, you've set a standard for us in your word, and we realize, Lord, without your spirit, the word becomes impossible to perform, Lord. And it's so difficult, Lord, and so many of us are slaves, and we're trying harder and making more dates with people, trying to see people, trying to just mend our own lives together, Lord. We're trying to hold relationships together, Lord, and this morning we just let go, God. We let go of every, all strife, Lord, and all stuff. And we say, Lord, come and do what you did in the first church, Lord. Come and give us that simplicity of heart. Come and give us that gladness, Lord. Come and give us that heart to praise you, Lord, even in persecution, Lord. We look through Acts and we see how they were persecuted and went through pain, Lord, and they went back and they gathered again and just edified each other, Lord, and they could just praise you, Lord. And the buildings were shaken when they prayed, Lord. And Lord, you reached the Gentiles through these bunch of people, God. You reached unreached people, Lord. You did incredible stuff, Lord. And Lord, they went wherever they were sent, Lord. They went, even if they didn't know why they were going, but they just went. But one thing they never doubted, Lord, they always had the gospel of Jesus Christ on their lips. So Lord, this morning we realize, Lord, we're so trying to do church, but Lord, you've asked us not to do church, but to be the church. So thank you, Lord, for this next season, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, we are not going to do church anymore, Lord, but we're going to be the church in this city, be the church in this nation, God. Lord, we yield our hearts to your spirit now, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to come. Bring the fear of God upon us, Lord. Bring the fear of you, Lord. Not a fear that we are going to die, Lord, but a fear, Lord, that we are busy with holy stuff, Lord. We're busy with a God who's full of joy, Lord, but a God who's just, Lord, and who deals with sin. And who deals with shame and who deals with guilt and condemnation, Lord. And so thank you that the devil, his days are numbered, Lord, even in our lives right now, Lord. The evil one's hold on us is busy leaving, God. All the condemnation, all the guilt, Lord, all the shame. Because, Lord, we bring our hearts before you, our raw hearts, Lord, this morning. And we humble ourselves before you. I really believe the Lord is wanting to just to deliver us of pride this morning as a people and just as individuals this morning, that we so want our own thing. We so want our lives to be okay. And He just wants us to humble ourselves and just say, surrender everything. Surrender your hurt. Surrender even your right to sort of have a right, your right to speak, your right to sort of lead even as leaders this morning. We need to surrender our rights, our positions, our titles, anything. Even if you're serving here this morning, just the fact that you're serving sometimes can even bring you to a place of pride where, you know, you're actually so okay because you're serving. You're doing all the right things. You're ticking the right boxes. And the Lord says, that's like filthy rags before me. I don't accept it if your heart's not right. That's a scary place. We can be serving. We can be pastoring a church. And the Lord says, you know, your heart is, your motives aren't right before me. I want to purify your motives. So if there's anyone here this morning, if the Lord is doing business with you, if you challenged this morning and you realize, you know what? I really need to make a change in my life. I need Jesus to come and reveal to me the gospel again because I've lost my first love. I need to come back to Him and surrender and say, this knee will bow to Jesus. This tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'm not asking you to be born again this morning. I'm just asking you to surrender your life to the Lordship and the Kingship of Jesus Christ this morning. So if that's you, I want you to just come forward and respond and say, Lord, I want the gospel to be central in my life again. Because my life is so much about myself. But Lord, I want to be like these first believers. So if that's you, I want you to come forward this morning. I don't want you to even raise your hand. Just come forward and just bow before Jesus this morning as a symbol and say, Jesus, I lay down my pride this morning. I want to be part of your simple church. Is there anyone like that this morning? If the Lord is speaking to you specifically, just come. Don't be ashamed. Just come before Jesus this morning. Just want you to kneel before Jesus. Lord, I don't understand fellowship. I don't understand all this stuff. I've got so much of a pride and so much of a concept in me. But Lord, I really need you to change me. If that's you this morning, just come. I believe the Lord is calling specific people, even leaders here this morning, just to come and lay down your pride this morning. Don't be shy this morning. If the Lord's speaking to you, just come. Father, I pray. Lord, as a church, we come and we kneel. I really believe the Lord wants us all to kneel before Him this morning as a church. So I'm going to ask you to kneel before God. Because I believe we need to do this as a church. I believe we have to lay down our pride, guys. Lord, we ask you this morning, God, as a church, to deliver us of even our right to be in this city, God. We don't deserve to be in this city, God. None of us deserve to even be in this family, God. But you've called us, Lord. You've called us to be in this family. Thank you for placing us in this family, Lord. Thank you for placing this family in this city, Lord. Thank you for placing this city as part of the redemptive purpose of this nation as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we get back to simplicity this morning, God. We get back to allowing you to do in us, Lord, the massive stuff that you need to do. We come and lay down everything, God. Even our time, Lord. We come and lay down our money, God. We come and lay down stuff that you want to use to extend your kingdom, God. I believe some of us really have to consecrate our finances to the Lord and say, God, that which is in my bank account is, Lord, it's you. It's you that have put it there and you want to use it. And help me, Lord, to count the cost. To first pray and ask, Lord, what do you want to do with these finances, God? How do you want these finances to extend your kingdom? Lord, how do you want my car and my house to be a blessing to so many people, Lord? Starting with the church. How can I open my house more to having fellowship with others, to allowing people to just come and be with me and just give your time away? Give your time away, says the Lord. Your possessions are easy sometimes to give away. It's your time that's the problem. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to work less. I'm going to study less. Not study as in being lazy, but just trust the Lord to make time for people, make time for God, first of all. Make time for the gospel to be real in your life. Tell religion to leave. Tell all form of godliness to leave. But tell the godliness to come in. Ask God to do godliness in you. Lord, we ask you as a church that we'll become a godly church, knowing the power of godliness, Lord. And out of that will flow supernatural things. Out of that will flow healings and miracles and signs and wonders, Lord. But come and reveal to us the power of a godly character, the power of a surrendered life. You just speak to God there where you are. Just allow Him to do stuff in your life. Allow Him to break shame and break guilt and break the slave mentality of just doing so much stuff for God. And God says, I just want you to be. I just want you to be with me. I've already saved you. I love you so much. But come, surrender. Surrender your life. Give every part of your life to me. I believe the Lord's showing each one of us just exactly where there are parts in our lives that we're still so in control of. And He's asking you not to give everything now, because He knows it's impossible for you to give everything. But just start to give that. Start to give. Just take it one step at a time. Wherever you are, just give that part. Give a tithe. Give a tenth of your time. Give a tenth and then get a 20% and 30% until you can surrender it all. But just start to give bits. Lord, we ask you by your Spirit to come and manifest yourself, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. If you need physical healing here this morning, then just come. I'm going to trust the Lord to heal you physically this morning. Just come. Surrender that. Surrender your physical body to the Lord, and He will heal you. Is there anyone that needs physical healing here? Just raise your hand. Love to pray with you. Trust the Lord for complete healing. Jesus is the healer here this morning. And He comes to heal us of all our hurts and our pains in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for, I see a picture of just new wineskins being formed. New wineskins being formed. And He's pouring out His new wine in each one of us this morning. He's pouring out His new wine. He says, behold, the old has passed away. The new has come. The new has come.
You are everything, and we will.
Lord, we just recognize that you're at work all the time, Lord. And this morning, we thank you for your work in our lives right now. We thank you that we can surrender, Lord, and learn also how to surrender every day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the joy, God, right now that you're restoring, God. I just see how you're restoring joy, God. You're restoring a simplicity, God. You're ordering people's lives. You're ordering their praises, Lord. There's going to be praise springing forth from this church, Lord. There's going to be praise springing forth into the city, God. There's going to be a joy and a gladness springing forth, God. There's going to be a simplicity, God. And we thank you for favor with people this week, God. I just declare, God, your saints here. I declare favor over students that are writing exams, God. Favor with their classmates, God. People would see that Jesus is moving, that Jesus is stirring in every heart, Lord. Thank you for the realness of the gospel, God, where the city does not know the full gospel, God. And thank you that we also, Lord, are so in need of you telling us this full gospel. But thank you, Lord, even in our brokenness, we can go out like this first church and have favor with so many people, God. And Lord, we trust that you'll daily add, Lord, weekly, monthly, God, even next year, God, you'll add to us those who are being saved, God. We trust you for it. It's only by your Spirit, God. And so we surrender this morning, Lord, as a church and say, Lord, let joy spring forth. Let simplicity spring forth. Let praise spring forth, God. And we know, Lord, as we have favor with the people at work, God, favor with people that we meet, Lord, that you would start to add those who need salvation, Lord, those who need to be saved. And so this morning, I send us all out here, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to do acts this week, Lord, acts of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in each one of us, Lord. Thank you, God. We expect that we want to be used by you to lay hands on the sick, Lord. We want to be used by you to preach the gospel, God. We want to be used by you to cast out demons, Lord. We want to be used by you to tell the good news. But thank you, it's not going to be a serious thing and a heavy thing, Lord. It's going to be a joyful thing, Lord. Even though it is serious business, but thank you for joy, God. I just release each one here right now, Lord. Thank you that you've shifted something in every heart, Lord. Joy springs forth. Life springs forth in the name of Jesus Christ. We go out just singing and dancing, Lord, of your goodness and your love because you have visited with us this morning. We thank you that you've, Lord, we choose not only to have you visit us, Lord, but we want you to dwell in our hearts. Come and dwell with us, Lord. Let us be the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you still need prayer this morning, please come. We'd love just to agree with you. But there's some lekker coffee now, okay? So nou is die koffie tyd, okay? So asseblief, don't leave here. Fellowship with us. Can give someone that you don't know a hug and say, I appreciate that you were here this morning, okay? Want us to do that quickly? Just tell someone that you don't know or don't know well. Just give them a hug and just tell them, you know, I appreciate that you were here this morning. God is moving. Amen. So thanks so much for coming. Let's have some time of ministry if you need to, but otherwise go and have a nice cup of coffee and fellowship with someone and bless someone this week. Amen. Thanks so much for coming.